we are spending length in Narnia. And over 6 weeks, up to Easter, we use the story of Narnia to guide our journey. So 2 years back, or a year and a half back, we did Christmas in Narnia. So for our Advent series and for Christmas, we used Narnia. And when we did that series, Larry said, you know what, this is actually quite fitting for Easter and for Lent. Because it's got all the themes of Lent in it. It's got the stone table where Aslan is sacrificed. It's got the empty stone table where Aslan is not dead anymore. It's got all these themes of Easter in there. So we said, it might make a good Lent series on our way to Easter. But we were wise. We thought we should have done it last year because it was right after we did it for Christmas. And we thought that might be enough Narnia for a while, so we thought let's do it this year. So, the story of Narnia, C.S. Lewis, great Christian guy, wasn't always one. He was just a great worldly guy for a while and known to be a woman's man and did all the things that the world could offer him. And then his buddy J.R.R. Tolkien told him about Jesus. And then he started meeting Jesus. So, he wrote all these great theological works, but he also wrote the stories of Narnia. And when he wrote the stories of Narnia, he wrote it with the idea in mind that people will find it easier when they hear the gospel to understand it after they've read Narnia. It's one of the stories that has been written with this intention. But he said, it's not a metaphor for Christianity, it's supposals, like all the imagery in Narnia is supposals. Suppose there was a world like Narnia, and Jesus would enter into that world, what would he look like? He would supposedly look like the lion as well. So, we are using this story to guide us through Lent on our way to Easter. So Larry started this off 2 weeks ago with the first part of the frozen landscape. We had two parts of the frozen landscape. The first one was the appeal of sin. So in the beginning of the book or the movie, the Pevensey kids, as soon as they went through the wardrobe, they found this great snowy world and just a forest and all these trees with snow and salt flaky snow, and there was no ice, it was just fluffy snow, the good snow, you know. And they were playing with snowballs and rolling down the hills, and as soon as they stepped into this world, they were all like, this world and all in awe of this fantasy world, which is something they didn't find in London. So, it was all good. Everything was beautiful. And that is the way a lot of people look at our world. There's so much pleasure that we can have in this world. There's so much enjoyment. And you can have all the enjoyment you want. Just buy more and drink more and risk more and try more things. You can feel enjoyment. And everything is just a pursuit of pleasure, a pursuit of self-indulgence. So then we got into part two. Of the frozen landscape, when we saw that all is not fun and games, something was not right. In the Chronicles of Narnia, this winter landscape that looked so wonderful and inviting at first wasn't that wonderful anymore, especially when they learned that it stayed winter forever. And that came with consequences. It was always winter in Narnia. So the winter wonderland just turned into a winterland. There was no spring coming. And something wasn't right in their world. The same is the case with us. Something is not right in our world. And our hearts are restless. And we know that we need something. We know that it can only be filled by God's love. And even though we tried to fill it with God, we saw that we kept on doing all these stupid things. Things we know God doesn't like. So all that we are left with is this restlessness inside. This feeling of something that isn't right. And then we have the quote of Augustine, who said it perfectly, because you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Indeed. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. And this is a nagging problem that we are stuck with. That is why people and all people why we are constantly seeking fulfillment, why we are constantly seeking enjoyment and happiness and joy. Because we were created with this yearning for God, with this need for God, with this void, and we want to fill it, but it can only be filled with one thing. So, this restlessness inside of us, for it to go away, the initial problem needed to be fixed. The initial problem that was being separated from God, the problem that made us feel this restlessness in the first place, had to be fixed. So we are going to look at our clip from Narnia this morning with two different scenes, and watch out for Peter telling Aslan, "We need your help. Because something's not right." So you'll tell Aslan, "We need your help. Because something's not right." So have a look at today's clip, and then we will carry on.
Welcome, Susan and Lucy, daughters of Eve. And welcome to you, Beatles. You have my thanks. But where is the fourth?
Where we're here, sir. We need your help.
We spoke them safely this time.
Not all of
them. Peter, I will do what I can to help your brother, but I need you to consider what I ask of you. I do not want my family safe.
Cue from the movie. This Sunday our scripture reading this morning is going to come from Galatians 4, verses 1 to 5, and then the short bit from Romans 8. And it's from the New Living Translation. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. So what would the benefit then be of being called the child of God? It means there's no more problem. It means there's no more separation. It means there's no more debt to pay anymore. It means that the very thing that prevented us from being in a relationship with God has been taken care of. That thing that prevented us from being in a relationship with God has been removed. And Paul is trying to explain this to the church in Rome, in Romans 8, verses 1 to 3, and then the end, verses 38 to 39. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that used to be. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Fast forward to verse 38. Because of all this that happened then, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We don't have to have this restlessness inside of us anymore. Because now, because of what Jesus has done, nothing will be able to separate us again from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing we can do, nothing anybody can do to us, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And He showed us what that love looked like. Now in the movie, in the last few seconds of the clip, Aslan said, "I too want my family safe." Did you hear it? Aslan the lion, the proposal of Jesus, the image he portrayed Jesus if the world was like that. Says, "I too want my family safe." Now, in the first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 1, we read that, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." That is what we are, children of God. And Aslan, the proposal of what Jesus could look like in a place, if a place like Narnia existed, he wants to keep his family safe. Who's his family? Jordan's family. He wants to protect them from any harm, even if that harm might come because of their own bad choices. Even if that harm might come as legitimate punishment. Edmund, in the movie, Edmund is missing, he betrayed them. Still ask them, say, "I want to save my family. I still want to keep them safe." Edmund brought that on his own, onto himself, all on his own. Even if the harm that might come is because of our own bad choices, God wants to save us from it. You see, even though Narnia is in a state of permanent winter, even though the creatures of Narnia are desolate, all is not lost. This is not the end for them. This is not the last word for them. And this is also true for our world. This is also true for us. There is a plan. All is not lost. We ended up last week saying something is not right in this world. But all is not lost. There is a plan. After the initial plan, Plan A didn't work. God didn't give up. So you might ask, what was Plan A? Plan A was human beings created to honor God in all they do, to worship Him with all their being, to love Him and to obey Him. This was Plan A. This was the plan of creation. And after creation, God looked at it all and said, "It's good. Plan A is good. Plan A is working. I like what I see. Actually, I love what I see. I love being in a relationship with my people. And it is such a pure relationship. There's nothing putting strain on our relationship. It's open and honest. It has freedom. Freedom of choice. They don't have to love me, but they do." That was Plan A, and Plan A was good. And then after a while, we actually don't know after how long, the choice that was made was a different one. A choice to doubt God. A choice to disobey God. To not trust God's intentions. We really don't know how long after creation that choice was made.
We don't know. But the choice was made.
And that was a bad choice. A choice littered with consequences. And so entered sin into this world. And since that day, we struggle. Since that day, plan A was completely and utterly screwed up. From that day on, that feeling of restlessness entered our hearts. And then God said, it also broke my heart. It put a great strain on our relationship. But I will not give up on you. I will make a new plan. A plan that will cost me way more than what I planned on. This new plan will come at the cost of the life of God's only Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what? God did it. He decided to follow through on the new plan. At great cost. For one reason and one reason only. Because He loves us. Because He loves us. He followed through on this new plan. Regardless of the cost. See, God has a solution to the problem. God has a solution to the problem of the messed up world we find ourselves in. A solution to the problem of that hole in our hearts. A solution to the problem of that restlessness that's inside of us, that feeling that we have been born with. The solution is that He sent His Son to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And you know what? There are some differences to the new plan, but there are way more similarities with plan A than what we might think. Way more similarities with the initial plan. Once again, as part of the new plan God has for us, exactly as the same as plan A, God gives us complete freedom, including freedom of choice. You might want to say, God, I thought you were going to do it. No, He does it once more. I'm going to give you freedom once again. I'm going to give you the freedom to choose. God is not forcing His solution on us in any way. He's merely presenting it to us, inviting us to accept His solution. Everything is in place for that. The price has been paid. And then presents the solution to us. He invites us to take it. He's not forcing it on us. Part of the new plan is that we still have the freedom to choose. But God says, I've done everything that is needed to be done for us to get back to the way things were. I've done everything that was needed to restore our relationship. I just want you to be mine again. I just want you to love me with all your heart, as I have created you to be. Give me a chance. See if I will fill that void inside of you. See if I will fill that gaping hole in your heart. Just give me a chance. Just give the solution a try. Give me a chance. If you don't like it or me, after giving me the chance, then you can walk away, because still you will have the freedom of choice. But you will like it. You will love me. You will love the joy. You will love the peace. You will love the purpose I give you. Because it will be a peace and a joy that surpass all understanding. You wouldn't want to walk away. Just give me a chance. Take my hand. And you will be known and you will feel like a child of God.
And we have to separate
us. Nothing will be able to separate you from my love.
God said, I am the solution to the problem.
In a world where everything is messed up,
I am the solution to the problem.
So as we journey through Narnia on our way to the stone table, which is the image we use in Narnia for the cross, to see the actual cost of our freedom, many remember that there is a solution to the problem. That there is a solution to this restlessness that we have had or some of us can have. That there is a solution to our messed up world. And may you remember, once again in the interview with Narnia,